This drasha has more components than I usually like to incorporate in a drasha. It's not longer, just more pieces. I hope it'll still work, because I think the message is important. The first thing I saw online when I turned on my computer after Yom Tov was footage from riots on university campuses. From New York to Texas to California, there were demonstrations, often violent, claiming to be supporting Gaza and protesting university investment in genocide. These riots have multiple proximate causes. Part of it is ignorance, part of it is anti-Semitism, part of it is an honest social justice campaign. But whether the cause is sincere or malicious, the effect is a dangerous environment for Jewish students who now need to finish the semester hiding online, and a fertile breeding ground for vehement, venomous hatred of Israel, hatred of Jews, and violence against both. I have two questions. First, recognizing that the hand of Hashem is the ultimate driver of our national history, what could be the cosmic purpose of this awful encounter between Jews and non-Jews at a time when we just want to come home to Israel in a geula that Hashem made possible for us in 1948? And second, is there any room for hope in all of this? I think there are good answers to both questions. Watching the riots, I thought of the fifth parak of Shir HaShirim, which we read this morning. It tells a story of Jews seeking spiritual connection and encountering violence. Hashem comes looking for us, knocking at our door repeatedly, but we decline to answer. Then we finally open the door, but Hashem is gone. Determined to find Hashem, we run out into the street, and the city guards find us and they beat us. What is this story about? Who are these guards who beat us and why? A medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah provides an enlightening answer. Shir HaShirim Rabbah, the traditional medrash to Shir HaShirim, was composed at a time when Jews were suffering under Christian persecution. The text has an explicit goal of providing those persecuted Jews with encouragement. As Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein dorshin Shir HaShirim lignai ela l'shevach." One may not teach Shir HaShirim as critical of the Jews, only as positive about the Jews. Shelo nitan Shir HaShirim ela l'shibchan shel Yisrael, because Shir HaShirim is only supposed to teach the glory of Israel. On that passage in the fifth parak, on the line Mitzauni Hashomerim Hikuni Pitzauni, that the city guards found me and beat me, the Medrash says Zet hatnai pachas ever nahara v'chave rav. These brutal guards are a reference to Tatnai, the Persian Pecha, and his allies. Those who have been learning with me in the daily Ezra WhatsApp know the story of Tatnai. The Babylonians destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and exiled the Jews of Judea. Then the Persian Empire under King Cyrus conquered the Babylonians, and King Cyrus sent thousands of Jews back to Israel to build a new Beis HaMikdash. Eventually we started building it, until Tatnai, the Persian governor, showed up asking to see our building permit. We didn't have it. Then he sent back to Persia, seeking to halt the construction. Says the Medrash, this is what Shir HaShirim is referring to. The guards beating us are Tatnai and his allies halting construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now we have a passage in Shir HaShirim in which we seek Hashem and guards beat us, and a passage in Ezra in which we try to build the Beis HaMikdash and Persians stop us. How does this answer our questions about our current situation? We need to read the surprising end of Tatnai's story. While Tatnai's letter goes to the Persian capital, we go right on building. And then the permission comes through from Persia. We have official endorsement by King Darius to build the Beis HaMikdash. They even send material support. We complete the building. And the first celebration in this new Beis HaMikdash is Pesach. And here's the best part. Vayochlu b'nei Yisrael hashavim mehagola, the Jews who had returned from exile ate from the karban, and so did kol hanivdal mitum'as goyei ha'aretz aleihem lidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so did people who abandoned idolatry to seek Hashem, the God of Israel. In other words, we began with disastrous intervention by non-Jews, but we pushed forward in our service of Hashem. We pushed forward in building the Beis HaMikdash. And in the end, not only did the non-Jews license us to go forward, but they actually came to join us. Their opposition introduces them to our enterprise, which leads to their conversion. If they ignore us, that can never happen. We need them to learn about us so that they will join us. Now I understand why Shir HaShirim Rabbah makes the link, because that's what happens in the fifth parak of Shir HaShirim too. We seek Hashem and the city guards beat us, but we persist And then the guards come around. They ask, Ma dodeich midod, how is your God different from all the other gods? And we explain to them, Doditzach v'adom, dagul me'ravava. We sing a glorious poem describing the wonders of Hashem. And then those same guards ask, Ana halach dodeich hayafa ban Hashem. Where has your beloved gone? Nevakshenu imach, we will seek him with you. Just like in the days of Ezra, in Shir HaShirim, the non-Jew has to meet us, even in a hostile way, in order to learn what we are doing and join us in seeking Hashem. They have to know us first. The message is that the opposition of the nations can be a step toward them ultimately joining us. Once we start looking, we see this repeatedly in Tanakh. For example, in the Haftorah of Tazria, we saw that the Aramean general Naaman blasted Elisha until he was won over. On Sukkot, we saw Zechariah describe the nations attacking Jerusalem and then coming to celebrate Sukkot. A Gemara describes a Roman general attacking Jerusalem and then converting to Judaism. Roman soldiers come to kidnap Onkelos the convert and instead they become his students. What do we need to do in our day? What is the cosmic purpose behind our conflict? Shir HaShirim Rabbah is giving us the answer. We need to keep pursuing what we were doing all along. It worked out in Shir HaShirim. It worked out in Ezra. It will work out for us. This is the cosmic purpose. This is the hope. To quote an observation that is often credited to Gandhi, but was actually Nicholas Klein, a union activist in 1918, he proclaimed, "First they ignore you, then they ridicule you, and then they attack you and want to burn you, and then they build monuments to you." I know this may sound overly optimistic, but that's what Shir HaShirim is about. Remember, the great fan of Shir HaShirim among the sages was Rabbi Akiva. He is the one who declares that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim, Holy of Holies. And Rabbi Akiva is the champion of hope. Rabbi Akiva sees water erode stone and envisions his own growth in Torah. Rabbi Akiva sees foxes on Har Abayit and envisions prophecies of redemption fulfilled. Rabbi Akiva sees Bar Kokhba the warrior and envisions Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva wasn't always right. But he understood that the hope and optimism of Shir HaShirim are Kodesh Kadashim, Holy of Holies. May we be inspired by that hope and optimism, by the stories of Shir HaShirim and Ezra, and merit to push on. And one day, God willing, they will build monuments to us as well.